as
God
intended.
Let's go.
Welcome, healers, to Looking for Healing Radio, where pharmaceuticals are not medicine, but love always is. I am your host, Dr. Brian Artis, and thank you so much for listening. Remember to tell all your freedom friends they can join us live on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network and via recorded podcasts at AmericaOutLoud.com. Also on the iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora networks, just download the America Out Loud phone app for Apple, Android, or Alexa, whatever you need to listen at your leisure. Looking for Healing Radio today is being brought to you by globalhealing.com, simply the finest, most potent, most effective natural medicines in the world today. Feel the difference integrity and love for medicine making can make for you. Go to globalhealing.com and enter promo code OUTLOUD to discover the medicine God intended for us all. Get incredible deals. Find Global Healing and all the wonderful AOL sponsors at AmericaOutLoud.com. I would recommend everybody consider going to globalhealing.com, use the discount code OUTLOUD, and get their six-day liver cleanse. It comes with five products. I believe everybody should be doing at least three of these consecutively. You do it for 6 days, and you take a week off rest, and then you do it again. There's nothing more powerful at actually improving all sinus and allergy symptoms. We're moving into spring and summer. Nothing is more powerful, I found, in clinical practice to help alleviate the sinuses and symptoms of allergies, hay fever. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what pollen it was. Didn't matter what plant it was. Often what food it was. If you cleanse the liver, you reduce the amount of mucus being produced in the body and stored in your sinuses, and the liver dumps all of this sinus and mucus in your head. So if you have chronic sinus pressure, chronic ear fullness, chronic pain in your cheeks, snot running out of your nose or down the back of your throat, you need to do a liver cleanse. And that's what I'll talk about for Looking for Healing Radio. As far as our sponsor for the first segment, that is globalhealing.com. I'm recommending their liver cleanse. You should consider it. There's only one organ in your body that's the primary detoxer that dumps all the poisons, toxins in your body into your intestines for you to poop out. That is the liver. All right. Well, I'm excited about this radio show. I hope you guys had a great weekend. Mine was extremely busy. We've had baby showers. We've had our third grandbaby that's coming, which is very exciting. It's Jane's daughter, Joanne. She's very, very excited to have a little girl coming in June. Yeah, it's coming up really quickly. All right. So we're very excited about that. And then birthdays, niece's birthday, had brother-in-law's birthdays this weekend, tons of people in and out of our home and us in their homes. So anyway, I hope you had a great weekend yourself. All right. So to kick off the work week and to kick off this week, we're going to talk about something that's very near and dear to me simply because 24 years ago, I was married to someone who was told since they were 11 years old that they 11 or 12 is when they started having their periods. She was told and her family were told she would never be able to bear children because of her severe PCOS. PCOS stands for poly, meaning many, polycystic, meaning cysts, ovarian disease or syndrome. PCOS, polycystic, many cysts in the ovaries syndrome. Now, everything in medicine they call a syndrome or a disease. It is not a disease. There's just something wrong and you can get rid of it. So PCOS, she had extreme PCOS symptoms, which included every period. She would almost every monthly period as a teenager in pubescence and puberty into adulthood. Until she was like 25 years old, had to be put on birth control, and even with birth control, to try to manage how severe her pain was every menstrual cycle because of the POS, that PCOS, they said, she had to go to the hospital often or to the ER to get morphine as a painkiller because of her excessively painful, heavy bleeding periods. But because of all the difficulties and complications with her hormones and her menstrual cycle and being having to live on birth control to help manage or reduce her symptoms, which never fully went away, by the time I had met this lady at 22 years old, she had been on birth control for 14 years and told she would never bear children. So when I say that this topic today is very, very specific to me personally, and I hope it's something that can benefit people around the world, this is about infertility. What are the incorrect misconceptions about infertility? But the mother of all five of my children was told she would never bear children. And in fact, when we started dating and I proposed to her, actually we learned, she told me, "Are you sure you want to do that? I can't have children." And she knew it was very important for me. I always wanted six kids, actually. I have five. My wife has three. Now we have eight. So I wanted a bunch of kids, and she knew that was very important to me. So she was telling me, "Maybe you don't want to consider this relationship because I can't have kids." And I just looked at her and said, "Well, if this relationship goes any further, you will have children. I already know I'm having children. So if it's with you, we're going to have children. No excuses, no beliefs, doesn't matter." And sure enough, we have five children. And we actually had four in 4 years, even though she was told by the medical profession she would never bear children for 14 years at least. So those five children have brought me so much joy, so much excitement, so much opportunity to experience the world and grow up a lot, starting at the age of 23 years old, 24 years old when I had my first kid. So it's been a busy life. Well, many, many people in the world want children. One of the big hot topics in the last 4 years has been the massive reported scientific-backed studies confirming that there are infertility rates that are just skyrocketing throughout most of the industrialized countries. But what we're mostly seeing is that since the vaccines that were introduced in December of 2020, we have seen reports coming out of Canada of upwards of 93% of pregnant women getting those shots having miscarriages. Those same numbers were reported in Australia. The information was more around 50% here in the United States, but these are massive numbers. And it didn't matter if it was first trimester, second trimester, third trimester. Many people that struggle with infertility can get pregnant, but lose the baby and have miscarriages. So any concerns and upsets about being infertile and not being able to produce an offspring and carry it to full term, or being able to get pregnant, but still not being able to carry that baby to full term and having one miscarriage after another, there is always a reason for infertility. So in Canada, I've read reports that one in two couples can't get pregnant, so they're infertile. I've read reports that one in three couples in America can't get pregnant or struggle with infertility. And this is why you're seeing a booming business of infertility clinics around the country and around the world, popping up everywhere. I am going to teach you what it is, principles-wise, and maybe tell some stories about what I've experienced in my own life and in my own patients' lives about infertility. For the most of you, it is not absolute, is all I have to say. So no matter what your medical professionals told you, it's most likely not true. And so, unfortunately, they are very limited in their scope of understanding of how the human body works. They have no training really on how nutrients, minerals, vitamins, how those impact your hormone balance that leads to improved sex life and sperm count and motility of the sperm and getting rid of cysts in your ovaries and improving your likelihood of getting pregnant and keeping that pregnancy till term. And I'm going to teach you some of those principles here in this first segment of Looking for Healing Radio. All right. So we're glad you're here. We're going to be talking about infertility. Anybody you know that's struggling with infertility, you might want to share this radio show with them. All right. So let's dive in, shall we? The reason why I bring this up is infertility has been a big concern. In fact, there have been countries around the world that have tried to reduce the populations of their countries. If y'all knew China years ago, limited all the people in the country to two children only. Now I'm hearing rumors it's only one child per couple and has been for a while, supposedly. And if not true, that's okay. I've just heard rumors that this is an issue. So one of the basic things I think about life, every animal on life reproduces. It is a part of its nature as it is designed. So for millennia, thousands of years, maybe millions of years, no one really knows, animals have constantly reproduced their species. And if man, evolutionist listening to this show, or creationist listening to this show, who are like me, it doesn't matter what the belief system is. If you're an evolutionist, you believe human beings are the most advanced species on the planet, out enduring all the other ones in intelligence, life, stamina, beating disease, you name it. We're better than all the other animals on the planet. Well, how come all the other animals can still reproduce, but we advanced species can't? It's actually been very intentional. This is not happenstance. This is not nature. No, species don't go extinct because they forget how to reproduce. That is not at all what happened. So there's an attempt to actually create infertility and miscarriage all around the world. And it's intentional. So better dive in. And just so you know, CNN decided to publish an article this week. I'm going to read through that article in this segment over the next 7 minutes and hit some of the highlights there. And then I'm going to jump into the second segment. We're going to talk about what is published and known to help reduce the likelihood of infertility. And I have all kinds of clinical expertise on this. We've been able to help people get pregnant. I'll tell you some amazing stories in the second, and this will relate to many of you. It's going to be exciting. So we'll go into that. In the third segment, we'll make sure that you have plenty of antidotes for various scenarios of pregnancy. Like, there are lots of issues that can occur during pregnancy, and they're all nutritionally related. So we can teach you how to manage those and get through those and what our recommendations are. And this will be fun. The goal is to make sure those who want children can bear children. You are designed to bear children. God gave you the instruction, creationist. Adam and Eve were told to leave the garden and multiply and replenish the earth. Well, you are their children and you can reproduce and replenish the earth. So if that was one of God's stands, and if as evolutionists, you believe that we are the most supreme species on the planet, we should be ruling the world, not dying off. So the die off is intentional. It's being orchestrated. All right. So let's dive in. This is going to be fun. Let me pull up the CNN article here and we're going to read into that. All right, so CNN article, Deidre McPhillips wrote this on Thursday of this week, of last week, April 25th, 2024. It is titled, U.S. Fertility Rate Dropped to the Lowest in a Century as Births Dipped in 2023. U.S. fertility rate dropped to lowest point in a century, 100 years, as births dipped in 2023. The fertility rate, they state in the U.S., has been trending down for decades. I said to you, this was intentional. They're using, I will tell you right now, they're using multiple vectors to do this, to create infertility in humans. Their favorite is vaccines. The easiest is vaccines. The easiest way to ensure that something they're putting in the air, water, food that is a poison, toxin, venom, it doesn't matter. Whatever they're putting into the water, air, food in your life is nowhere near as powerful at creating toxic effects in the human body to lead to infertility than injecting straight into you toxins and poisons. The vaccine agenda, period. Childhood vaccines, teenage vaccines, senior citizen vaccines, all vaccines. A part of the vaccine agenda is to actually create massive amounts of infertility and miscarriages. Now, they just said in this article that's been trending down for decades. Well, you know what else happened decades ago? The amount of vaccines has skyrocketed in the last three and a half decades since 1986, when Ronald Reagan signed the act into law that gave immunity to the drug companies that make all vaccines. When that immunity was given to where drug companies now can make any vaccine on earth, and no matter what happened to a person, they were never going to be held liable financially. That's what's happening. From the time that happened, there was about eight. I was 10 years old in 1986, by the way. I got all these vaccines before 1986. By 1986, I was 10 years old. The majority of my vaccines, I was not being given every few months. But the total that I was exposed to as a kid was eight vaccines. Well, in 1986 until now, do you guys know that it's over 70 injections we all get by the age of 18 years old? And the majority of that is between 0 and 6 years old. 72. Well, as vaccines have skyrocketed in the last few decades, CNN's reporting here, the fertility rate in the United States has been trending down for decades. Really, this should help you figure this out. You know what else has been going on? Glyphosate's been used on all farms around the world over the last several decades, and that was never even a thing. It was synthetically engineered and created by Monsanto. So this poisonous, carcinogenic, infertility-causing poison called glyphosate or Roundup weed killer has created massive amounts of miscarriages also. These are not the only things. These are just obvious things that have occurred and increased over the last several decades that could contribute to what the CNN is reporting. Fertility rates have trended down for decades. All right. Then they state, there was a massive drop in 2023, brought the rate down to its lowest in more than a century. There were about 3.6 million babies born in 2023, or 54.4 live births for every 1,000 females ages 15 to 44, according to provisional data from the U.S. Centers, the United States CDC. After a steep plunge in the first year of the COVID-19 pandemic, a steep plunge, oh, it's funny, they locked us all down and there was less births. Interesting. The fertility rate has fluctuated, but the 3% drop between 2022 and 2023 brought the rate just below the previous low from 2020, which was 55 births for every 1,000 women of reproductive age. It is now at 54.4. We have certainly, quote, we've certainly had larger declines in the past, but decline fits the general pattern, said Dr. Brady Hamilton, a statistician with the National Center for Health Statistics and lead author of this new report. They're going to normalize this, right? Obviously. That's not a quote from this article. I'm saying that. Dr. Artis is, obviously. The birth rate fell among most age groups between 2022 and 2023. The teen birth rate reached another record low of 13.2 births per 1,000 females ages 15 to 19, which is 79% lower than it was at the most recent peak from 1991. And now we'll end it with this quote before we go to commercial break. The highest rates have, over time, been shifting towards women in their 30s, whereas before it used to be with women in their 20s, Hamilton said. Quote, one factor, of course, is the option to wait. We had a pandemic, or there's an economic downturn, let's say. Women in their 20s can postpone having a birth until things improve and they feel more comfortable. For older women, the option of waiting is not as viable. All right. Remember, you can listen and learn from me, Dr. Brian Artis, Nicola Burnett, Dr. H, and Dr. Janice Schmidt every Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific. And go to our show page on AmericaOutloud.com. You can submit a health question or topic, and we will answer those on your Friday show. On Looking for Healing Radio, we're always here for you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Lean. Pure with premium ingredients. Global Healing's pure plant protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with pure plant protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Welcome back, healers, to another episode of Looking for Healing Radio. Hope you enjoyed the commercial break. All right, we're back. This episode, or this part of the radio show, is being brought to you by Energetic Health Institute, an amazing school for amazing students just like you. The best way to be free is to be healthy. Learn how at www.energetichealthinstitute.org. Holistic nutrition, fasting, detoxification, art of cellular healing, and so much more. Join the EHI family and let's make tomorrow amazing. Go to www.energetichealthinstitute.org. If I were you, I would recommend you go there and download his course right now. He's got a course you can download that teaches you how to ground and best manage reducing and removing the toxic deadly effects of EMFs, 5G radiation, radio frequencies, you name it, blue light technology. He's got together a whole course he released last week. We talked about it, the Healing for the Ages masterclass we did on Wednesday of this last week. And we hope you're tuning into healingfortheages.com and staying abreast there. We've got our next masterclass coming up May 23rd, which is free. And we have our pay-in conference all day long, May 25th, which is Memorial Day weekend. And this is going to be all about EMFs and how to beat them. I'm going to be doing an entire presentation on how EMFs affect our hormones, because most of you have no idea that your phones, your tablets, your cell phones, your computers, your televisions impact your health hormonally. So we're going to dive into that. All right. So I'm going to finalize some of the thoughts from the CNN article on infertility. This entire radio show is about infertility and how to beat it. So I want to make sure I've closed off and kind of concluded what are some of the statistics we've learned from this article on CNN this last week, that infertility rates in America are at its lowest point now than they have been in 100 years. All right. So I'm going to continue in this article. It reads, 2023 marked the first full year after the U.S. Supreme Court's Dobbs decision that revoked the federal right to abortion. This provisional data does not show geographic trends, which may obscure some effects that state abortion bans have had and what the effects of state abortion bans have had on state level birth trends. However, an analysis from November suggests that states with abortion bans had an average fertility rate that was 2.3% higher than the states where abortion was not restricted to the first half of 2023, leading to about 32,000 more births than expected. As mortality rates continue to rise in the U.S., so do rates of cesarean deliveries, which Hamilton notes are major abdominal surgeries. Nearly a third of all births, 32.4%, were C-sections. A third of all babies born in America are C-sections. A share that is now the highest it's been in a decade, according to the new CDC report. But C-sections are becoming more common among low-risk births too, such as those among women having their first birth with pregnancies that have reached term and single fetuses that are facing head first. So I want to talk about this actually real quick before I get into the infertility discussion. I don't know if how you feel about C-sections, but do you know every mammal on earth has never had a C-section to give birth? Why are human beings doing that? I would like to explain to you what I learned when I was in chiropractic school. I believe it was King Henry VIII. And this guy, I think he's the one, whichever king it is, don't quote me on this. I'm not a scholar of English history and I don't even want to be, but I believe it was King Henry VIII. And King Henry VIII had lots of wives and concubines, whichever king it was, King Henry, I believe it was. I'm pretty confident it was him. He liked wives and concubines, and he loved the idea of being a parent. I believe he's the king, actually, that beheaded six wives who couldn't give him children. And this is not a joke. He actually chopped off their heads at the Tower of London. I just visited this place a couple of weeks ago when I was in London doing a convention and speaking there. But anyway, six heads chopped off. King Henry VIII had a bunch of concubines, not just wives, but a bunch of concubines. And for some reason, this king had a fetish where he sexually was aroused by watching his concubines or wives give birth. Now, at this time, this period of time, every person that's giving birth is birthing in a squatting position. So the midwives in the castle with the king, when their concubines and wives were ready to give birth, King Henry, if that was the king, if it was some other king, I'm sorry, just picture a king in England, a real king. This is not a made-up story. this guy would have to bend down, the king, to be able to see if he could see the head coming out, the baby coming out of his concubine's privates. And this king got sexually aroused by watching these women give birth. Well, it became cumbersome for the king to have to bend down and squat down to get a view of what was happening when the women were squatting to give birth. So the king threatened the life of the midwife and said, you're going to start putting them in a bed on their back. And as they push to deliver the baby, I can have a full view of my sexual arousing child being born. This is when the first women were put on their backs to deliver babies. Not because of a doctor, not because of a midwife, but because of a horny king who got off on women giving birth to babies. Now, this started a trend, and the king declared that all women in the kingdom had to start giving birth on their back. This is the appropriate way to do it. Yeah, because king knows best. Well, when the individuals who jumped on the Magna Carta and all the boats to come settle America, they brought with them this king's declared, you have to lay on your back to give birth philosophy. And now women all over the world are put in a bed, laying on their back to push out a baby. The most recent groups of people are going to be those who are in the Amazon jungle, in Africa, in the jungles, and in the Saharas, and the Native Americans. None of them lay on their back to give birth. They all squat to give birth. And all the humans, give birth this way, who are not conditioned by medical professionals and by watching TV shows and every woman laying on their back giving birth. It's so messed up. This is not a real thing. This was actually a suggestion of a horny king to lay somebody on the back so you can get a full visual. If you haven't noticed, they kind of made a mockery out of this thing, or accentuated this thing, by putting a huge spotlight in every hospital room and right in front of the hospital bed, that when the woman's leg spreads to give birth, they put this big, ginormous, huge light bulb to flash the brightest sun they can on the eyes of an infant that's been in complete darkness for 9 months. I consider that traumatic, and I think they should do away with those. I also think that it really sucks that there was a guy who ran for president of the United States named John Edwards, who was an attorney. And this guy is the reason why 32.4% of all Americans are having C-sections right now. That's a third of all of them. John Edwards, if you've never read his history, John Edwards, who ran for president. Yes, the guy who ran for president while his wife was having breast cancer and struggling with breast cancer treatments, was having an affair with a woman on his campaign, a young lady, and then hiding her and her baby who gave birth during his campaign for presidency. And this guy, John Edwards. John Edwards, as an attorney, stood on behalf of a family who gave birth to a baby, and that baby supposedly had some brain damage or neurological damage. And the claim by John Edwards in court was, the baby laid in the birth canal too long and the doctor did not do a C-section. Therefore, the resistance to do the C-section by the medical profession is what led to this baby's neurological damage. And as a result of this, the jury sided with John Edwards, who is not a doctor and doesn't know a damn thing about embryology, which I do way more than he does. But John Edward, the attorney, got the jury to award a multi-million dollar malpractice lawsuit against the medical doctor. As a result of this settlement, all malpractice insurance for OBGYN doctors has skyrocketed. And I don't know if you know this, there are many OBGYNs who pay more money in malpractice insurance than they do making money from being an OBGYN each year. There have been many stories of OBGYNs who have to either go out of practice or ask their patients by email, by letters, to help him pay for his malpractice insurance so he can stay in practice. There's many, many stories of these. It's awful. But this is forcing all medical doctors to stop trusting the natural birthing process of a baby coming out of a uterus, squeezing through the vaginal canal and being born, the birth canal, coming out of the body and being born. instead of the threat of a malpractice suit and some neurological damage possibly. Now, all OBGYNs are taught to schedule either inductions, that is, they're going to pump you full of drugs like Pitocin or Oxytocin. They're going to pump you full of that to induce the pregnancy, or they're going to do a C-section. They want it scheduled on time, and they don't want it over the weekends or in the evenings. They don't want to be bothered. These MDs don't. They want to schedule this stuff. Just so y'all know, I had a baby that was being born sunny side up, and the OBGYN, my son Braden was born sunny side up, coming out sunny side up. The OBGYN was not at the hospital and told the nurses when the baby crowned, his head came out, that the OBGYN was not at the hospital yet. Even though they were calling her for 2 hours to get over there, she decided it was more important to do blood pressure checks on all of her current pregnant patients, not the one that was in labor and delivery. Well, by the time she shows up, she had already, and talking on the drive over to the hospital, the nurses were saying, the baby's coming sunny side up, blah, 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 blah. She's in a bed laying on her back, like everybody's told to do. And when the baby started coming out, the OBGYN yelled at the nurses to push the baby back in to her body and close her legs and lay her on her side until she got there. And I'm standing there, and this is exactly what they did. They literally shoved my son back up inside of her. He's already being born. The head's already out. They shoved him back in and then waited for it to come. Now, just the top of his head was out, just the crown of his skull, and they shoved him back in and closed her legs together. And it was extremely painful and torturous. Well, by the time she shows up, she comes in the room, and I said, where have you been? And she's like, I've been busy in practice. And I said, oh, yeah, blood pressure checks are more important. I said, I know you're like in your first or second year of practice, but you need to stop doing this. You need to pay more attention to the emergency of labor and delivery than you do blood pressure checks for the pregnant women who are not near term. Well, when we first met this lady, I actually made her sign a contract. I actually went to 9 different OBGYNs and made them sign a contract that they would not use any forceps or any vacuum extractions or suggest any C-section to my wife at the time. And this one was the only one that agreed to that contract and signed it. And so we were working with her for 9 months. And then now it's go time. 9 months of working with this lady every month for their appointments. They all know the plan. They all know the plan. Well, when she walks in the room, she evaluates where the baby's position is, says it's sunny side up, and goes to grab forceps off of this rolling tray. And I grabbed her left arm and I said, what are you doing? And she goes, he's sunny side up, Mr. Artis. This is an emergency and emergencies require emergency action. And I said, this isn't an emergency. What are you talking about? I told you, you're not doing any forceps and you signed a contract that you wouldn't do it or I would sue you. You're not touching those forceps. She said, well, it actually could be more of an emergency than that. We may need a C-section. I said, actually, his head already came out. You told them to shove it back in. So there's no issue here. And I looked at her and I said, are you really suggesting that forceps or surgery may be what your next suggestion is? And she said, yes. And I said, you're fired. Get out. And she had to leave the room. She knew she had to leave the room. The 3 nurses in the room, one who was training 2 others, they were all shocked and dismayed because here I am, a young 20-something-year-old screaming at the doctor that she's fired. Well, she left. And then I told every doctor and nurse has to leave if you fire them. So never forget that you have more rights than they do to stay in the room with you. Fire them if you don't like what they say or if they won't work with you. Just fire them. They have to walk out. And the hospital administrators will make sure they leave. You have that right as a patient. There is a patient bill of rights. You just don't know what they are. And I will make sure you know what they are. So the nurses are looking around all lost and flustered. And this may be something that helps people in the audiences right now. This wasn't what I expected to talk about. I didn't know they were going to mention C-section in this CNN article. I will get to the infertility stuff. Don't worry. So these are some of the traumatic things you're going to deal with in pregnancy, though. You got gestational diabetes, placenta previa. You've got all kinds of stuff. And now I'm telling you another scenario. Baby's sunny side up. Well, I looked at the nurses and the nurses now don't know who's in charge. And I said, oh, I'm in charge. It's okay. I know you look flustered. Have you never seen a doctor get fired before? And they all were like, no, never seen that before. I didn't even know this was a thing. And I said, this is 21 years ago. And I said, oh, that's fine. You go out. The doctor left. I told the head nurse, I need you to go get me a squat bar. Everybody listening to me, listen. I said, go get the squat bar. And these three nurses looked at me, or actually, sorry, they didn't look at me. They looked at each other. They didn't know what that was, as if it was the first time they've ever heard this. Now, in chiropractic school, I did a 100-hour certification course in chiropractic pediatrics, and I had to learn embryology, the development of the embryo in all of its stages throughout pregnancy. That was a part of chiropractic school and this course. So I did it twice, learning that stuff twice. So all the stages of pregnancy and the baby's development, I learned and studied and loved. And then I learned as much as I could about chiropractic pediatrics, which included labor and delivery and how to deliver a baby, take care of the baby, resuscitate a baby, adjust the baby after it's born. Yes, I adjusted every one of my babies after the first kid. Within 1 minute of them all being born, I adjusted their neck, adjusted their spine, adjusted their sacrum, adjusted their hips. I did every single one of them. And all five are adults. None of them are crooked. None of them have scoliosis. They're all great. So don't let anybody tell you that's dangerous. It's not. It's only dangerous to people who don't know what the heck they're doing. So they don't know anything about it. So I looked at these nurses. I said, go get the squat bar. And they didn't know what they're talking about. They didn't have a clue what I was talking about. So I went over to the hospital bed, the bed in the room. I pulled up the sides of the bed's blankets, and on either side of a hospital bed are two welded rings that a metal pole will slide inside of and rest inside of. And I looked at those rings. I pulled it up. And I said, you see these rings on this bed? They said, yes. I said, this is where the squat bar slides inside of. And a squat bar is like, take a square and cut it in half. It's just half of a square. So it looks like a big staple that hasn't been injected yet. Or stapled yet. It's just half a square. And then you just slide it down, and the squat bar is now suspended over the bed about 2.5-3 feet. Well, I sent the nurses out. I'm waiting in the room. It took them like 20 minutes to find this squat bar. Well, the baby wasn't moving, so this was fine. They come in with a big bar that looks like half a square. And I said, what took y'all so long? And they said, we went through all of the labor and delivery unit of this hospital, and there was we couldn't find it. We didn't see anything look like it. So we went to the PT ward, physical therapy ward of the hospital, and we found it behind a whole bunch of equipment in one of their closets. Audience, listen, this is how uneducated these individuals are in your hospital room. And this chiropractic student came in and could tell them everything about their room and the bed in the room and the equipment that this required to be used in the room at times. I knew more than they did. I've never worked in a hospital a single hour. So I know most people think they know all things. They do not. The medical profession in their white coats, the nurses, they do not know all things. And we should never, ever believe they do. Unless you want to be standing before God one day and demanding forgiveness for believing they're gods and know all things. I don't know all things. I just know a lot of things. They don't know all things. And they know a lot of things. So I took that squat bar, slid it down. Somebody got on the other side of the bed, helped me slide it into the two welded rings. We picked up the pregnant mama, we put her arms right over the top of the squat bar. And then she had her knees up, her feet were on the bed. And it was five pushes and Braden was out. And I did the whole delivery, handed it to the nurses. Then I went into the hallway on a mission to find that medical doctor. And I ripped into her for the next 15 minutes. She tried to handle me. Nope. I corrected her and said, unless you want a complaint filed with the board and a lawsuit from me for the abuse of the time of my kid's mother and my own baby, and I would hire John Edwards to come after her. That's what I would have done. If you want that, you're going to shut up and stop talking. And then I told her not a single human on earth would ever be from my mouth encouraged to go see Dr. Diana. So that's how that went down. All right. So just so y'all know, the body is not designed to give birth in a bed. A female body is not designed to lay on its back to give a bed to give birth. It is not designed to sit up in an inclined hospital bed to give birth. If the butt of the person is on a bed, that is not how you give birth. Nor is it how the human body is designed to give birth. Okay, listen, people. Have you ever heard of something called the squatty potty? You sit on a toilet, and people who have a hard time pooping or constipated or just have a hard time pushing it out, this woman designed this little stool you could put in front of your toilet and just put your knee, you can put your feet on it and it raises your knees above the toilet's rim where your booty's sitting. And when you elevate your knees into a squatting position, it actually opens up the entire orifice of your colon to make it so much easier to poop, to defecate. It's easier to get a poop out of your poop hole when you're in a squatting position with a squatty potty than it is sitting on a flat toilet with your legs straight, your knees straight out in front of you. It's exactly the same damn thing when a woman is pregnant and trying to give birth. Put them in a squatting position, the whole pelvis opens up. In fact, your sacrum, which is your butt bone, in a bed cannot move, but God designed it, or evolution, if you're an evolutionist, evolution decided to design the human body that when it squats, the sacrum, everybody knows how many women giving birth have broken their tailbones. They've only broken their tailbones if they're laying in a bed. The tailbone is the last part of your butt bone called the sacrum, and it's sitting on a bed. It can't move. So the baby comes out of your pelvis, hits your tailbone, and breaks it while they're trying to use forceps extraction and whatever else to get it out. Vacuum extraction? No. Just know, if you put the person in a squatting position, that's how God designed the body, for the body to give birth, and the sacrum itself opens up 30 degrees more when you're not laying on your back. If you want to reduce the likelihood of trauma to a baby in the vaginal or birth canal, and you want that baby to come out without getting traumatized or injured, possibly, put the mom in the position that is the easiest for the baby to come out. This is not a big hole the woman is passing a baby through. You want to make that bigger? Get in a squatting position, like with a squatty potty. If it's easier to poop with a squatty potty in a squatting position, it is much freaking easier to give birth in a squatting position. And any OBGYN that hasn't studied this stuff and has never studied biomechanics like a chiropractor does, this is always studied 24/7. How do all the joints work? How do they move? How do you get them in the best position to move? Increase their range of motion. And when you're pregnant giving birth, you better pray your pubic bone can separate. Your two SI joints on the back of your spine can open up and swivel your sacrum out of the way. At the bottom of your sacrum is the tailbone. So in order to help you, that's what you got to do. So these are just some things I wanted to share with you about the C-section thing, because it really bugs me. I hate it. All right. So this is the second segment of our Looking for Healing radio show. I'm sorry I got off on a tangent on the C-section stuff. The next section, the next episode after the commercial break, is going to be about a 12-minute window conversation. And I'm only going to be hitting the high points of what any human being who cannot give birth or cannot get pregnant or has one miscarriage after another, I'm going to take you through what are some of the natural things I used in practice and I have studied, learned, and compiled from researchers around the world that improve the outcomes of maintaining a pregnancy to full term, never having a miscarriage again, reducing preeclampsia, all the issues you see with pregnancy, so you can have an experience like I did, 5 very healthy births to full term without any forceps, vacuum extractions, C-sections required. The first kid was born with forceps. I learned a huge lesson from that one. So none of my four kids ever had C-sections, vacuum extractions, C-sections, never needed. It was a lot different. It was after the second kid in this horrible experience, it was, where can we go to a birthing center? Can we do this at home? Can we do a water birth? And yes, we've done them all. We'll be back from war, Looking for Healing Radio, with antidotes to infertility right after these messages.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
All right, healers, welcome back to another episode of Looking for Healing Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Artis. Let's dive right in. All right, so some of you might be thinking, in the first segment, Dr. Artis talked about the mother of his kids couldn't have kids for years. What did he do to help reverse her PCOS to help them have four kids in 4 years? It was easy, actually. All we did was use an herb and a homeopathic. It's a homeopathic or an herb called scolopendrium. I actually had the liquid extract from a company called Marka Pharma. And they're out of Germany. And they create this homeopathic called scolopendrium. And I had her do 30 drops twice a day after coming off of birth control. And within 2 months, she was pregnant with the first kid. So scolopendrium was easy. Scolopendrium helps to detox the ovaries, improve hormonal balance, and helps to reduce cramping and excess bleeding during menstrual cycles. I've used it with all my teenage girls to handle all their menstrual problems. Had to do that with their mother also. But we treated her for parasitic infections, but scolopendrium was the magic to get rid of the cyst and to help with pregnancy the first time and never looked back. And then treating her for parasites, we used all the herbs I use and recommend in the Freedom Cleanse Restore product at our website, thedrartishow.com. We have a parasite treatment kit. If you're wondering if your loved one might have PCOS and that's the reason for their declared and diagnosed infertility, have them do a parasite test kit at thedrartishow.com. Supply the stool sample. They will get two emailed reports 2 weeks apart after sending in the stool sample. It'll tell you what bacteria, parasites, and fungus are in your body, creating your PCOS symptoms. Then take the Freedom Cleanse Restore parasite treatment kit for 3 months on my website. And then you're going to use scolopendrium every single day, 30 drops in water in the morning, 30 in the evening to reverse the PCOS stuff. That will handle that. All right, so let's get into what are some of the general guidelines they give for people who have infertility or experience miscarriages. Let's go to miscarriage first. So if you know people who are actually able to get pregnant and then lose those babies, I'll just tell you there. I actually had a cousin who had 19 miscarriages, but had like 7 kids, but 19 miscarriages. It was demoralizing every time they lost a baby. They would have had all 20 kids if they could have. This cousin was one of 13 kids. So lots of kids were in that family. And so they were ready to have a whole bunch. Well, 19 miscarriages was awfully demoralizing. So I'd like to give you some recommendations about what I recommended to people who were dealing with miscarriages. Number one, if they're having miscarriages over and over and over, the body is very toxic and sick. And most likely miscarriages occur when the baby is developing and something's wrong with it because the environment the baby's growing up in is not conducive to a healthy baby being developed. The body will recognize something is genetically wrong with the baby or developmentally wrong and will let the baby go. So if you want to improve your chances of not having miscarriage, please start doing regular detoxing. Get soda, ice cream, cheese. I'm just rambling here. Get the high processed foods out of your life. Start eating organic vegetables, fruits, and nuts, grass-fed beef, wild-caught fish, cage-free chicken and eggs. These are going to be the basic things. And get rid of flipping sugar if you really want babies. And then I would recommend doing liver cleanses, which are just a general great detox for the whole body. I would do 3 of those and skip a week after doing each one of those, like I mentioned in the very first segment. But let's dive in to what we recommend for miscarriages, okay? All right. Number one, You all know about folic acid. Folic acid is vitamin B9. Methylfolate will be what you want, the version of folic acid, 5 milligrams a day. Also, vitamin A, everybody should take. If you've had miscarriages and can't get pregnant, vitamin A at 5,000 international units a day. Folic acid at 5 milligrams every day. Zinc at 150 milligrams every day is what works for miscarriages. Also, vitamin E. This is actually one of my favorites. If somebody struggles with infertility, put them on a high dose of vitamin E. I preferred using wheat germ oil vitamin E. And man, I even had a sister one time that couldn't get pregnant. I just shipped her some wheat germ oil and said, just take this for several weeks. You'll get pregnant. Within 1 month, she was pregnant. She'd tried for years. Anyway, this is a very easy thing. Vitamin E, 600 to 1,000 international units. I just preferred wheat germ oils, vitamin E, something from a plant. Always found it better. Taking iron supplements is not recommended. Do not do that. All right. So those would be the recommendations there. Also, take red raspberry tea. It's very healthy for you. Raspberry leaf tea. Also, catnip tea can be used for people who are commonly experiencing miscarriages. All right. Now let's get into what do we recommend for infertility? Well, men and women both are the problem. So men, if you have had an infertility check or you've gone to an infertility clinic, they'll test your sperm count and sperm motility. Do you have a lot of sperm and enough sperm to get pregnant? And are those little swimmers swimming very well? Those are the only two things they're looking at. Do you produce a lot of sperm and do those sperm swim? In both categories, you can actually reverse this for men. If men have low sperm count, put them on tribulus. Tribulus is an herb, a plant. Tribulus, tereris. All right. Tribulus, 500 milligrams twice a day. Do one in breakfast, do one at dinner. This will increase a man's sperm count and raise his testosterone, by the way. So if you can't get it up to even get pregnant, if he's having a hard time with sexual thoughts or he has a low libido, tribulus will turn that around, and I'm evidence that works. Tribulus. For men, it increases sperm count, sperm motility, and ejaculate load, proven by science. Tribulus. Don't forget it. That's for men. Then for women, we're going to dive into this. Women, for infertility, there's a few things I want to recommend to you. Vitamin C, 500 to 3,000 milligrams, three times every single day. I would start with 500 milligrams three times a day. Go up to 1,000. If you don't get diarrhea with that, do 1,000 three times a day after that. At whatever point you start getting diarrhea, back it down to the dose you did not get diarrhea. Vitamin E at 600 to 800 international units every day. Folic acid at 400 micrograms per day. Vitamin B12 at 1,000 micrograms per day. Zinc, a minimum 30, upwards of 60 milligrams every day. When it comes to herbs, they often will tell you that during pregnancy, you should not take any herbs. That's only because they don't study it. Herbs are very good for you while you're pregnant. But the science community doesn't really study that. So these botanicals, which are plants, I recommend to women who cannot get pregnant. Panax ginseng, P-A-N-A-X ginseng, three times per day. You would want to do 1 to 2 grams of high quality crude ginseng root. Now, if you're like, well, where am I going to find Panax ginseng? Well, start looking online. And I would recommend Mountain Rose Herbs as a good resource to go to when you're looking for isolated plant herbs. MountainRoseHerbs.com. I have no affiliation with them. I'm just telling you, that's where you can go. Eleuthero, E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-O. Coccus scinticosus. Eleuthero is what most people call this for short. Three times per day. If you're doing an extract, you're going to want to use 2.0 to 4.0 milliliters several times a day. If it's dry powdered form of Eleuthero, you're going to use 100 to 200 milligrams every single day. You can throw it in a smoothie, put it in applesauce. I don't care. You can put it in empty capsules if you want to. And then there is also fat-soluble extract of a plant called Pygium africanum. Africa? Africanum. Pygium, P-Y-G-E-U-M, africanum. And the dosage there they recommend is to have, when you're looking for the extract, it'll be a liquid. Extracts means the liquid. You squeeze the plant and got the extract out of it. 14% tripeptines in there. We recommend 100 to 200 milligrams per day in divided doses, 2 to 3 times per day. These are just some very basic things we recommend. Okay. Now I want to speak to something else. If you actually have had miscarriages and you're having a hard time maintaining pregnancy, this is a secret. I've used it for many, 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 many years in clinical practice. On a lot of hamburger buns is a seed called sesame seed. Did you know that sesame seed oil has been proven to increase infertility and help maintain pregnancy? For anybody who keeps losing their pregnancies, I would recommend buying sesame seed oil. You can get them from Standard Process on Amazon.com and take 2-3 times a day, sesame seed oil every day. If you're trying to get pregnant and are pregnant, you should do it every day of your pregnancy. All right, that's number one. Number two, any miscarriage is created by a deficiency in progesterone hormone. And there are cells that line the placenta and the uterus that attach the placenta to the uterus and provide blood flow and immune protection to the baby. Blood supply from the mama goes through these cells, and then the immune system is also protected. The cells that make up this connection are called syncytiotrophoblasts, and I'm not going to spell it, syncytiotrophoblast. These cells are the only cells in the female during the second and third trimesters of a pregnancy that release progesterone to maintain the pregnancy. Progesterone is called the pregnancy hormone. Well, there's an assault on these cells by toxins in our environment and in vaccines that destroys these cells, so you can't make progesterone. This is why people are lining up at infertility clinics. Well, here's a very simple answer for you. Did you know that there's a plant you can eat that has a lot of progesterone in it, and you can have it every day of your pregnancy? It's called wild yam. And anybody who's losing pregnancies and can't get pregnant or just can't get pregnant at all, you need to start supplementing wild yam. It has progesterone in it. I cannot tell you how many women who never could get pregnant have gotten pregnant. One time in my practice as a chiropractor, I had 8 people who never were able to get pregnant in 1 week. All of them got pregnant just doing what I told them to. Anyway, you do not have to. Infertility is not a permanent diagnosis. There are things many of us can do. You are designed to give birth. All right. Remember, you can follow us at Looking for Healing Radio at AmericaOutloud.com Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific. I am Dr. Brian Artis, founder of TheDrArtisShow.com, founder of HealingForTheAges.com, and I hope you guys are all benefiting from the efforts we're putting together as a group. We love humanity. We love families. We love our children, and I hope that you and all of your loved ones can have the same joy we've experienced from the families we've been able to successfully create using natural principles when we were told it was never going to happen. That is not true 100% of the time. I am Dr. Brian Artis. I love you. I'm grateful for you. Hope you have a great week. Tune in tomorrow morning for more Looking for Healing Radio.